It's Tuesday, the 1st of March, and it's time to get your grin on with the Grincast. Here to discuss the world of gaming from the past week. I'm your host Ace, and joining me are Gozagoz.
Hello.
And Prince.
Hi.
Welcome, One More Club, all. We've got some stuff to talk about, but we'll start with some good games first, I think. What have you been playing this week, Prince?
I've been playing. I'm really excited. First of all, I played Persona 4, but like we're used to that. We know I do that. Whatever. Who cares? But I've been playing One Piece Pirates Carnival, one of the Four Kids dubbed One Piece games for the PS2. It was originally for the GameCube, but it has a PS2 port, which is so odd because you need a multi-tap to play it.
Oh, is it a party game?
Yeah, it's a party game. It's Mario Party. It is Mario Party, but it's Four Kids One Piece, and it's amazing and a little censored, and it's just really beautiful, to be honest. I love it, and it's fully voice acted, which, you know, I really appreciate.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah, it's been really fun, though. I've been playing it with friends. There's definitely mixed feelings on it, but it's actually a pretty fun party game, in my opinion. Some of the games are definitely, like, whack in the way that licensed PS2 games would be, or licensed video games in general would be back in that era, but some of the games are oddly fun. Like, it's nice. The AI's a little ridiculous. It cheats all the time. Like, oh my god. I have it on normal. And also, so I'm like a resident Sanji like person. I love Sanji. Oh my god. Like, he's my favorite One Piece character. Always has been. I have so many figures of him. So of course I'm gonna play Sanji. And I swear to god, the AI, you know, we chose Zoro for the AI. It went after me every time, which I'm a little impressed if that's on purpose. Because, like, wow. But yeah, it was a good time.
Well, it sounds a bit crazy, but
yeah,
you can't have a Mario party or a One Piece party without some crazy.
Exactly.
Is Clown Pirate in this one?
Yeah, Buggy's in it. I love Buggy the Clown. You can't play as Buggy the Clown, but what he is on your board, he's one of the board's set up different than Mario Party. I don't know how the hell to explain the board, to be honest, because it's different. And it's kind of like a game of, you actually need strategy and math, which made me very upset because I didn't go into the game expecting to use those things for the board. I was a little upsetty spaghetti about that. It's also a money game. Oh my god. But Buggy is if you land on his square, what it does is it sets off a captain's game. So the character that landed on it will take control of Buggy, and then it turns into, like, you know, the 3-versus-1, essentially, games. But instead of your character, you're Buggy the Clown in that one, and you're doing Buggy the Clown crap. Oh my god.
Oh, fair enough. Goz, what about you?
I played Elden Ring.
Yeah, you must be one of the only people in the world who's done that.
Yeah.
You sound so tired. Sorry. Yeah. It was just the way you said it. Like, so, like, I played Elden Ring. Like, yeah! Sorry.
I must be the most... I must be the only person in the world who played it and hated myself for playing it.
No, I've seen a few people on Twitter say that they hate themselves.
Me too.
Why? Why do they hate themselves?
Because they were playing Elden Ring.
Why do you hate yourself for playing Elden Ring, Gores?
Oh, because it's kind of a cash grab.
Oh.
To me.
Give us the tea.
Sorry?
Give us the tea. Tell us all of it, Gores. I want to hear it.
What's the tea?
Well, like the info. The
tea.
Yeah. Sorry.
I mean, It's a game. It's a good game. It's a fun game, but there's a lot of stuff in it that just annoys me. Like, why are you doing this? Why, like, it's you released 5 games before this one that are the same idea, and you still didn't fix this problem that you had there in the first game. Stuff like that.
Bummer.
It's hard to explain. Because, I mean, I don't dislike the game. I think it's a fun game, but I don't think it's worth the price that they are asking for it. A lot of the problems that they had before, they just carried over. They doubled down on some stuff that was problematic in the earlier installments.
Well, you'll probably be in the comments on GameGrin.com arguing when our review goes live in a couple of days.
No. I can't be bothered. I mean, like, if you enjoy something, you enjoy something. I can't fault anyone for having fun. You know? Like, to me, having fun with a game and the game being well-designed are pretty very separate things. Like, you can have fun with pretty much anything. I mean, you know, I like watching crap anime.
Yeah.
Well, I certainly do, because I'm listening to the House Animated Lounge podcast.
Oh, is that gamerin.com?
Yeah, we don't fault you for liking schlock anime, so.
I think that's exactly. The thing, though, is that is part of what makes it hard with Elden Ring, though, is you're right, is people are having fun with it, and that's the important part, is that people are having fun, but it comes at a fault with the fact that the game's been done, like, 5 times before, and that, you know, maybe it's not the best designed, but it's also, like, people are having fun, so,
Yeah. I mean, it's important to look at it from both sides, I think. Because, like, of course, I'm looking at it from game design standpoint, because it's the kind of stuff I do when I don't play video games, so.
Okay, well, myself, I've been playing a lot of Forza Horizon since late last year. Because Forza Horizon 5 came out, we talked about it in the Game of the Year podcast. It was all around very good. I went looking at the other games. Turns out that Xbox Games with Gold gave Forza Horizon 2 away a few years ago. So I had that, and played that last year. Not last month, because it's now March. In January, I went and bought second-hand copies of Forza Horizon and Forza Horizon 3. So I played quite a bit of 5. I played through all of 2. Then I went to the original. And just the other day, I finished Forza Horizon 3. That one took me a long time. It's such a big game. I kind of hated it.
Oh, that's the worst.
Because it's in Forza Horizon 5, if you played it, there's lots to do. Like every half a mile, you come across something to do. There's a camera or there's a race. But in Forza Horizon 3, there's lots of sections of road where there's just nothing, like big chunks of map. The whole, I hesitate to call it a plot, but the plot is you are in charge of the Horizon Australia event, and there are 4 separate areas that races are focusing on. This one's the street one, this one's the beach one, this one's the taking place in the outback. Mm-hmm. and you've got to upgrade each area separately. And if you're in the middle of Australia, you're far away from all of these places, and until you upgrade an event and one of the horizons, you can't do any races. So it's just, there's a lot of driving involved where you're not doing anything, and I don't like that. But I've finished that. As I say, it took a long time. I've been playing it for several weeks on the sessions that I've been getting on the Xbox. And I've moved on to Forza Horizon 4, which as soon as I started playing it, I don't know how big of a graphical upgrade it is, like the polygons and that stuff, but it just looks a lot better, a lot smoother. And I've actually been meaning to look up some reviews and see if anyone noted that down in their review when the game first came out. Because, well, obviously going from 3 to 4 originally wouldn't have happened within a day.
How does the horizon look?
No.
It looks very nice. It looks Forza-ish. The first one's an Xbox 360 title, and it shows, because like going from 5 to 2 to 1, it's like, okay, now there's literally 5 is a fully open world. You can smash through walls and drive it over everywhere. And in 1, it's just, nope, that wall will deflect you. That small fence will deflect you. It's actually a really nice surprise when you drop off a ledge, because that fence did not deflect you. It, in fact, toppled. Ooh, fancy.
As far as the horizon, the crisis of driving games.
It's the Dead Souls of driving games. Right, I won't start the news section this week without a segue, because as you'll no doubt be aware, Ukraine has been invaded by Russia. They are currently defending their country from invading Russian forces. You are probably wondering, what can you do? Because there's all these fake video clips and fake Bitcoin wallets and PayPal accounts and stuff. So you're miles away from Ukraine, so what can you do? The game storefront, itch.io, is putting together a bundle. They previously did one for a bundle for racial justice and equality and a bundle for Palestinian aid. They're in the process of gathering games for the bundle for Ukraine. If you've ever been to itch.io, they sell... you can buy DRM-free copies of games, role-playing games like paper, pen and paper, tabletop RPG games, comics, music, just all sorts of stuff. So that's currently coming together on their developer end. They are hoping to have it live for sale on Monday the 7th. Submissions are going to close this Friday. So if you're a developer listening to this, then and you're on itch.io and it's a paid game, they're not accepting free stuff this time. It has to be a paid game. I'm not sure why, but that's one of the rules they've set out. Feel free to submit your game. It was initially going to be a joint effort supporting the relief efforts in Ukraine and supporting trans youth in Texas, but they've decided to do a separate bundle in April to support trans youth in Texas, which is admirable because you don't want to dilute either of those messages. The charities that they've chosen to support are International Medical Corps, stumbled over that, and Voices of Children. International Medical Corps is a they provide medical aid and training in the field and have ongoing operations in Ukraine. and Voices of Children is a Ukrainian organization that helps children cope with the horrors of war. PTSD, readjusting school, things like that. So they're both very good charities, very worthy of some money, and the funds that they raise will split between 50-50 between the two. At time of recording, they've got, let's see, 499 posts on that topic. Most, not all of them are submissions. Of course, that doesn't count for people who are putting up to four things in that forward into the bundle. So it's going to be, well, the one they released for Black Lives Matter was 300 something things, like games, as I said, games, music, comics. So this one is looking to be equally as large. We did talk about it at the time. I did mean to get the podcast episode number, in case you want to go back and listen, but I forgot to do that. Sorry. Of course, we'll probably talk about the bundle once it's launched next week, but yeah, keep an eye on itch.io on Monday the 7th. Something that we can all talk about now is Bethesda have decided that they are closing down the Bethesda.net launcher and migrating everything from that to Steam. Starting in early April, you'll be able to migrate your games and your Bethesda wallet to your Steam account. You can look into the information already. There's a post on GameGrin.com, which you can read. And the migration to Steam will include your game library and wallet, meaning you will not lose anything from your Bethesda.net account. Does anyone use a Bethesda.net launcher?
No.
I had no idea it was a thing.
Oh my god.
I'd ask if you know anyone who does, but clearly no.
No, yeah. I'm shocked they still do that, to be honest. I a lot of places just don't even bother with like their own launchers anymore.
When they first launched it, they if you signed up, you got a free copy of Morrowind.
Oh.
Oh my gosh.
So I did that. But I already have Morrowind on Steam, so I'm not getting anything out of this migration.
I was going to say, I feel like everybody already owns Morrowind somehow. Like, I swear to God, I do. And I'm like, I never played it. Like, but I own it. It's so weird. Like, I don't know where it came from, but it's there.
I have a pirate copy somewhere. That counts.
You do know where yours came from.
I actually bought it on CD, DVD, one of those, many years ago for PC, and I actually thought that it was Icewind Dale. I got the two mixed up in my head. Oh, wow. So I installed Morrowind, and I was like, wait, this is a first person game, what's going on?
Oh, they both have wind in the title. I mean, it happens. Like, you know what? You want to play some Nazi zombies and you buy Sex with Hitler instead.
Oh, no, not that game. I swear.
Well, if you do not want to migrate your stuff to Steam and instead want it to take it to console, tough. They're not doing that. Just thought I'd mention that it does state in the FAQ, the frequently asked questions, that you cannot do that. But if you play Fallout 76 using the launcher, then your atoms and stuff will transfer across.
Because the game already alienated enough people, right? Because people didn't like it, right?
They didn't like it on launch. Apparently, they like it now. Apparently, the community is really nice. Like, people, I've seen people posting on Reddit that they've just installed Fallout 76, and people have been giving them tons of free stuff and then wandering off.
That's kind of sweet, though. I feel like when a game at launch is really bad, it really weeds out a lot of the assholes if the game does get good later on. And because I feel like the strongest communities are behind games like that sometimes. Like, it's so interesting.
That's very true.
Yeah, it's cold games, stuff like that. They usually have decent communities.
But speaking of assholes, Nintendo. It's been announced by the fighting game tournament EVO that Super Smash Bros. Will not be in EVO 2022. This is because Nintendo have said, no, you cannot use that game. Probably, well, maybe because Sony owns EVO, or maybe because Nintendo announced that they were starting their own fighting tournament with the Blackjack and Hookers, and when was it? In November, they announced...
Wait, really? Like, on the Blackjack and Hookers part?
No, it's no. A meme.
Well, I'm like, well, no! Okay, sorry. I was like, oh, well, I could see it happening, to be honest.
Sorry. I mean, anything to get them more money.
Yeah.
In November 2021, Nintendo announced that it was partnering with Panda Global to host its own Smash Brothers competitive circuit, though they still haven't given any details about that at all. But that might also be one of the reasons that they've said that they can't use Smash. But it's not just Super Smash Bros. Ultimate that has been at EVO. It's also whatever the Wii U one was, and Melee from the GameCube, both of which Nintendo aren't making any money on at all, and haven't done for a while. They just don't like people playing Smash Brothers.
Their games.
Well, yeah, we talked about it last week. They don't like people playing their games.
It sucks. I don't get it, to be honest. It's like, it's everything, too. It's their music also. Like, it is so hard. I mean, it's not that hard because people upload it all the damn time. But for a while there, it was really hard to find, like, Nintendo game soundtracks and stuff to listen to. Like, they don't make shit easily accessible. And I hate it. It doesn't even make sense. They could be making so much money is the thing that gets me. Like, they could at least fucking sell it. But they don't most of the time. But then on top of it, like, now they don't even want, like, tournaments with their game. And yeah, maybe it is because they're starting a fighting tournament, like, themselves. But why would you not want the publicity, really?
Well, the article I linked to on Kotaku.com does mention that several, like, major things, that, like, that some of the most memorable things that have happened at some EVOs have been moments in Smash Brothers.
Oh.
But yeah, they're not allowed to use those games.
To be honest, I hope we see a rise, because there's always like underground Smash tournaments anyways. I remember my first day of college, actually, I walked into the cafeteria and someone had deadass brought a TV and their Wii, and they were playing the one everyone hates that's on the Wii. I don't fucking remember, but I was so like shocked and like in awe. Like, they brought a TV to school, like to college. I walk in the cafeteria to that, and it blew my mind. Like, so I hope we see the rise of like at every convention on like on the streets. I want people to be playing Smash just to piss off Nintendo. Like, this should be the big tournament game again. It is anyways, but they should make a point that this is the big tournament game. Fuck what Nintendo says. Who are they to stop people from playing games in the first place?
Look, they stopped selling the games, therefore you should just destroy your copies of their games and consoles that they no longer make money off of, so that you cannot play any of their games.
They Simple. Fucking wish. Oh. Like, if they ever figure out how to put a little self-destruct button in those things, they will.
I mean, they have been technology innovators in the past.
Maybe they should, like, put subliminal messages in their stuff, like, sell your copy of a old rare Nintendo game and send the money to that you make to Nintendo. And it's gonna be a cycle, of course, because the game's gonna go to another private owner. So, like, it's a perpetual money-making machine for Nintendo.
Oh my god, Nintendo want NFTs.
To be honest, what I'm, like, really worried about is someday in the future, they're gonna pull that not-for-resale bullshit and start attacking people, like, who are actually reselling physical things. Like, it'd be interesting, I feel like, if they actually started going after, used copies in the future. Like, legit. You know, because some people get crazy like that, and I would not be shocked if Nintendo were the first one in, like, 10 years or something to try and breach that.
It'll get to a point where we have to do what you have to do in a Japanese casino. You don't give your money over to the casino. You give it to a separate place. They give you, like, a receipt or chips or whatever it is, and then you go to the casino and cash those in. And that's what you bet with. And then you go back and then you get your winnings from the other place.
It's so funny because it's literally like, I don't even understand how the workaround. I guess it's because it's not technically money, but it is just so funny. It's like, why are you putting the middleman in there? Just fucking stop.
Well, Konami let something stop. They let the silenthill.com domain expire. And someone bought it. So they've the person who's bought it has just replaced what was there with the image of a tweet from Masahiro Ito saying, "I wish I hadn't designed effing pyramid head," which is a real tweet by the art director from Silent Hill 2.
Yeah, that's from like last week.
So, yeah, apparently it was on sale at one point, I don't know if recently, in 2019, for almost $10,000. But Konami didn't buy it, so someone else did. And, you know, why not? If they're not going to buy it and do anything with it.
Yeah, it, like, hurts a little. Like, it's so funny, and I would have done this too as a Silent Hill fan, because it's been like this, by the way, not the tweet. Since the tweet was from last week, this got changed recently. That's what sparked people to notice. But the website has had, it's been someone else's for like a year now, if you use the Wayback Machine, and it had an image of Pyramid Head, actually, and something like, he is the one, or something, he's the only one, like something, like, it's a joke, you know? It's been like that. It wasn't until the tweet that people noticed, though, because that shit hurts. It hurts, like, twice as much. Like, oh, I was so upset when he tweeted that. I understand why. But, oh, did it hurt still? Because I love that. I love Silent Hill 2. But the site, like, it's so funny. That's what got everybody to notice it, is that tweet. Now it's that tweet. It's everyone's like, oh, my God, Konami doesn't have the website. Oh, it's so bad. I think people were probably fooling themselves into thinking maybe Konami still owned the website, even though it was like, it's been a meme for the past year, essentially, by like being like, well, maybe it's not one. Maybe it's just cryptic. But now we know. We know.
And knowing's half the battle.
Yeah, it really fucking, like, sometimes you wish you could just be oblivious and like secretly hope that maybe Konami will, like, I mean, no, like, I have no hope as a Silent Hill fan. And I kind of want to keep it that way, to be honest, because every single game past 4 is not. That's a lie. Shattered Memories is okay. Every game aside from Shattered Memories past 4 is shit. Like, utter shit. It's amazing to me. Like, I still play them because I put myself through that. But they're all bad, except for Shattered Memories, which is okay. It's okay. It's held back by the Wii, oddly enough.
Well, I thought I'd tie this news story into our main topic. What would you do with your favorite game's website if you stumbled across it for a tenner and bought it?
First, you gotta ask what's your favorite game.
I mean, maybe I wouldn't do that with my favorite game, but like, I might just make it go link to gangrene.com. to specifically to one of my articles.
I feel that, honestly. Like, I would take the Resident Evil 4 websites and probably, like, there's only one actual active website for that, and that would be the Oculus one, because they just released that fucking game. But I would totally take that and link it to my really stupid Christmas article about Resident Evil 4 right there. It's not even Christmas, but that's such a good, like, opportunity. Like, why would you not be using that? Like, I respect using it for the meme, though. Admittedly, like, it makes people laugh and cry and laugh and cry.
That would be perfect. It's like saying that it's always Christmas when there's Resident Evil 4.
Right there.
If I got hold of saintsrow.com, I'd probably just fill it with screenshots of Johnny Gat.
That's so fair. But you could just start, like, a whole website for that instead, and I'm sure people would go to that.
JohnnyGat.com.
Literally, though.
Just Johnny Gat rule 34.
No! Now that's its own website, all right. Maybe not, though. You know, I feel like I'm a little shocked, to be honest. Like, if I bought a, like, it's not me, actually, I would not, but I'm shocked that someone, the person who, like, I know a lot of horny Silent Hill fans, I should start that off, and it makes sense, especially with 2 being a game. The fuck? So I'm a little shocked, to be honest, that it didn't end up being, like, Pyramid Head with the big dong or something.
I was gonna ask, is its head pyramid because its actual face is fucking ugly, but the body is hot?
I mean, I don't. Here's the thing: the body. I have mixed feelings on the body being hot because here's the thing: the body is not hot. I'm Silent Hill 2. He is not this sex icon that for some reason modern Silent Hill has made him. By the way, it's Homecoming's fault. Homecoming is the reason we have this fucking issue with sexy Pyramid Head. Because, A, it brought back Pyramid Head, and that's not okay, because Pyramid Head is James's monster. I'm so mad about it. This is why Masahiro Ito hates Pyramid Head. I'm not even kidding. This is exactly why. And I understand it's Homecoming's fault. But they make him so sexy in that game for no reason. No reason. And then ever since, we get a sexier Pyramid Head every time we see him, which we should not be seeing him on a regular basis. And now in Dead by Daylight especially, have you seen how mostly naked and extremely caked up he is? They literally added a patch to cake him up. I'm not even kidding. It was in the dev notes. I screamed. So yeah, it's ridiculous. I don't believe in sexy Pyramid Head. He's not sexy. He's literally not sexy at all in the actual game. Ah! Sorry.
Why didn't Dead by Daylight devs make Ash Williams sexy? I mean, he's the old fat Ash Williams. Like, it feels like discrimination to me. Like, you make a guy whose head is a fucking pyramid sexy, but fucking Bruce Campbell, he's a fat Bruce Campbell.
I feel that, though, to be honest, because it's like, I feel like even old Bruce Campbell is, like, a little hot, so it what are you doing not making Bruce Campbell hot? Oh, my God. I don't know, they have their priorities all fucked up, I'll tell you that. Though, admittedly, like, sometimes I'm okay with it. Like, for Christmas, they gave Leon Kennedy a fucking sweater, and it was the best thing that ever happened to me.
I've just discovered that saintsrow.co.uk is available for sale.
Oh my God, buy it, Ace! Buy it!
Shit, dog.
How much is it?
From this random domain website that I found, it's £1 for 1 year, then £10 per year.
That seems really cheap. I would not necessarily trust it, but who knows?
Yeah, exactly. But at least I found it's available.
Just bill it to Rash to be safe.
I'm sure he'd appreciate the website. Like, a new website right there. And it's just going to be full of Saints Row porn. I mean, what?
And with
he'd
that,
probably like that.
And with that, I think we've reached the end of our podcast.
I'm sorry.
Thank you for joining me, Girls and Prince.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Greekcast, and better yet, thank you for subscribing wherever you found this episode. You can find more from us on GameGrim.com, finding us on social media, or listening to the Pals Anime Lounge podcast. And until next time, game on.